The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back as we head into our second hour. I am Seth Leibson, and it is a delight to welcome back to the show Maria Sims. She spells her last name S-Y-M-S, and I tell you that because her website is S-Y-M-S-F-O-R-A-Z, Sims for Arizona. She is a candidate running for a legislative for our legislative district right here, LD4, to represent us in the Arizona State House of Representatives. She is part of a team that includes Vera Gibran, who has been on this show, and Nancy Bartow, who is running for the same district in the Senate. You think about that team of Bartow and Gibran and Sims, and you have got three strong women in this district. I am very excited about this ticket. Maria, welcome back to the show. How are you, sister?
Oh, it's terrific to be back, Seth. Always great to be here and to talk to everyone, and you got it. We are the LD4 strong team, and we are out there working hard, and we have so much support in the community. I just want to take this opportunity up front to thank all of our numerous volunteers and supporters who've been getting out there. We've got a great ground game. We're in the home stretch, and we feel like we're going to have a really big win for conservative Republican women on the LD4 strong team.
You really do. You have a great group out there, and you are a great trio. This is kind of what Arizona used to do more of, didn't it? It would run kind of a, I don't know if slate is the right word or team, but I remember growing up seeing a lot of that, and it seems like we haven't done that in a while. Is my history roughly right on that, or my memory at least?
I think it varies. You're right about that. It depends, but I'll tell you, we got together not because we necessarily felt like we needed a team, but I worked with Senator Bartow, our brave conservative warrior in the Senate, when I was in the legislature representing Paradise Valley and Phoenix. And we are very politically aligned, philosophically aligned, and I really admire her a lot. So that was a no-brainer. And then we talked to the other candidates. And when we met Vera Gibran, who's a small businesswoman, a mom, and a conservative, very passionate, I always like to say she's new to the game but not new to the fight.
Yeah.
Because she is a warrior as well. And we just were so aligned in our philosophy. It was a no-brainer to run together. We knew we were stronger together because we are so philosophically aligned for our conservative principles, for border security, for educating our children, not indoctrinating our children, for life, religious freedom, and getting the government out of our lives. So it was just it really was great, and we have been working so hard, and we feel it. Can you feel it, Seth?
Yeah, no, it's out there. It's in the air. It's definitely noticeable. Maria, and you've been so generous talking about people running on the slate with you. Let's take a moment and put the humility aside. you got to put a little humility aside when you're running for public office, right, Maria? So talk to us a little bit about why you're running. Those certainly are some of the topics. You have served in the state legislature before. I know you as everything you said. The others are a strong woman. You guys are the iron ladies of this election season. You really are. You're kind of each your own kind of Margaret Thatcher memory to me. Whenever I go to any of your events, go ahead.
I like to think of the Iron Angels.
Iron Angels. I like that.
Before, you know, strong but compassionate.
Yeah.
And care.
Yeah, no, I love that about you guys, and your resume is awfully strong too, Maria. It's been a while, so let's reintroduce you to the audience a little bit. Tell the audience a little bit about your background, your history, and why you're running in this election season.
Terrific. Well, as you know, I had the opportunity to serve in the legislature 4 years ago. I served on the Judiciary Committee, Public Safety, Health, and Commerce. And I tell people that, you know, as much as people are discouraged by politics and leaders that say one thing and do another, when you pick the right leaders, it is really possible to get things done. And I showed that when I was in the legislature. We got a lot of great laws passed for public safety, getting more police on our streets, protecting our border, lowering prescription drug prices. There's just a few examples, strengthening criminal penalties for sexual predators. So we accomplished a lot. And so I urge people to do their homework on people. And if there's one thing I want folks to take away when they meet me, it's that you don't have to guess where I stand on the issue.
That is so true. By the way, I just want to validate that point, having known you for some years. That's exactly right. Keep going, sister, please.
Yeah, I have a proven record of standing up for conservative principles. Even when, you know, the Democrats are fighting hard against me, I'm willing to get up there and swing the bat for the principles that are important for the people in LB4. And what matters to them, I can tell you hands down, is getting fentanyl out of our communities, getting respect and more police in our communities, and making sure that our children are getting quality and empowering parents so they have those choices. And not only do I have a proven record and I have the experience, but I have a career
yep.
of working for these things.
Yep.
I was an assistant United States attorney. I was an assistant attorney general. I'm a lawyer for many years, standing up against government overreach, standing up for what's right and what people really want. And more important than any of those titles, the most important title I've ever held is being a mom.
Yeah.
I'm a mom to three kids. I'm a mom to a public school in Scottsdale. I'm a public school mom. And I see what's happening, what's happened post-pandemic, during the pandemic. And it kind of pulled, we've talked about this before, Seth, it pulled the curtain back on what's happening in our schools. And now parents are no longer going to be sitting on the sidelines. They are not going to take it when they're called domestic terrorists or if they're told that there are dossiers on them. We're not afraid anymore. We are going to stand up and do what's right for our kids. And that's why you see so many women running this cycle, so many mama bears running for school boards. I hope they will support them, too. It's so important. The stakes couldn't be higher.
By the way, Maria, that we're talking to Maria Sims, candidate for LD4 in the Arizona State House here, simsforaz.com, SYMSFORAZ.com. By the way, Maria, that's one of the ways that I am, one of the manners in which I feel, as you asked me, don't you kind of feel it? That's one of the ways I do feel it, is some of these people, particularly in Scottsdale, some of these wonderful ladies running for school board. You know, we have been, you and I know for years, have been talking about what when people say, well, what can I do? What can I do if they're not up for running for office at the legislative level or something like that, or something higher? Because it does take a lot to do that. Run for school board. My gosh, the change there that you can affect and the change that is taking place to our culture as a result of us not being involved in the school boards is overwhelming. I'd like to get into some of that with you in a moment if I can, Maria. But let me underscore two things first. One, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the children. That is the topic. You talk to Nancy, you talk to Vera, you talk to you. That is the constituency I hear you three talk about more than anything else. And God bless you for it, because we've used them as political tools for far too long. You mentioned COVID. I have never seen more damage done to children in the name of political correctness and in the name of fear and panic and paranoia and political leverage than I have with COVID. You mentioned that. You want to say a few words about what we did to kids with regard to COVID?
I do. And
please.
The price is so high,
yeah.
Beth. It's shocking. It's soul-crushing, really,
yep.
to watch our children be masked up.
You're going
to
be working in the legislature on this for years to come, what we've done. But go ahead.
Yeah, we have a lot to fix. So The Economist, for example, today,
mm-hmm.
everybody agrees, a very liberal
mm-hmm.
Publication,
mm-hmm.
came out with some statistics that showed in low- and middle-income countries, 10-year-olds can't read at a rate of 13, that rose 13%.
Right.
The inability to read.
Mm-hmm.
Latin American countries, 50 to 80%,
mm-hmm.
Because of the pandemic. We don't have to go that far, Seth. We can look right at Scottsdale School District and see that our numbers in reading are down 4%, math down 12%. And what are we preoccupied? We're preoccupied with indoctrination and pushing gender identity and the right pronouns rather than reading and math. And we're losing a whole generation. And you can see it in the kids. The depression rates are up. The suicide rates are up. It is time for people to step up and get involved. And yes, you got to vote for the right legislators, but you've got to keep going down the ticket and vote for the right school board members. I'll give a plug for Amy Carney and Karen Werner, two brave moms that are running for school board.
You bet.
And hope that you'll vote for them.
Do their names again. They've been on the show before. Love these ladies. Go ahead and give them out again if you want.
Sure. Amy Carney and Karen Werner.
I love this about you. You are so good, Maria, touting the others. Let me come back. I have to take a commercial break. You can stay a little bit. I want to delve into some more of this with you if we can. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, you bet we do, and I'm glad you can do it with us. Maria Sims is our guest. S-Y-M-S is how she spells her last name. SimsForAZ.com is her website, and she and I will be right back. Oh, that's funny that song would come up, a song about Harper Valley PTA. We need to talk about Arizona Valley PTAs. In any event, we are talking about education and public policy and our youth with Maria Sims, who is a candidate for the Arizona State House in LD4, which represents the area this station is in. They've kind of redone things, Maria, haven't they? So you want to give the audience the rough contours of what the new LD4 is that you are running to represent in?
Sure. It encompasses a good portion of my old district.
Yep.
So all of Paradise Valley, Arcadia, and then it goes east just a little bit past the 101, then up in Scottsdale, McCormick Ranch area, and then up north to the 101, up past to Desert Ridge.
Right.
And then on the west, it's bordered by the 51.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you for that, Maria. Maria, we were talking about the left and what they did to our children during COVID and what the costs are. A lot of these costs were avoidable because we predicted them. A lot of us predicted them. A lot of people wanted to put their head in the sand. But a lot of us said, be careful. And we were stronger than that because we saw a youth mental health crisis coming. We saw a learning loss crisis coming. And one of the things that is helpful about putting these things in sharp relief is the left is so ardent and convinced in their moral superiority that they don't really hide their beliefs. Here's the head, for example, of the Los Angeles Teachers Union. Okay, she is the president of the United Teachers of Los Angeles, which is either the first or second largest education district in the country. When she was asked about learning loss in the Los Angeles magazine, she said, quote, "There's no such thing as learning loss. Our kids didn't lose anything. It's okay that our babies may not have learned all their times tables. They learned resilience and survival and the difference between a riot and a protest and the words insurrection and coup," close quote. It's exactly what you said, Maria. They don't care about teaching kids how to read or how to add or how to subtract, never mind division. They care about socially engineering the kids to think the way they want them to think, don't they?
Yes, and this has been decades in the making. I mean, Seth, I can remember being in ninth grade, and one of the assignments was debating whether we should have transgender bathrooms. And this is 30 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a slow march to where we are now. And where are we now?
Mm-hmm.
Now we have so much confusion. You know, I thought teaching was supposed to come from a place of love,
right,
and caring for our children and their mental well-being and their advancement. And we are putting quality education on the back burner for a political agenda. And let's not forget, the National Education Association is the largest political donor of Democratic candidates anywhere. So that's what we've got.
And they told us last week at their, by the way, just for the audience's edification, they told us last week, this NEA, National Education Association, they told us last week they are a social justice organization at their annual meeting. They're not an education organization anymore. They're a social justice organization. It's as if Kentucky Fried Chicken went into the steak business.
And wasn't there a push for birthing mothers?
Yeah, they can't. They talked about birthing folks, and they spelled it F-O-L-X, birthing folks. Yeah. exactly right. Anyway,
well,
I interrupt.
How do we expect them to teach their children if they can't even get the word spelled right?
Oh, I know. They can't conjugate a sentence, but it doesn't matter because that's not what's important. What's important is that the kids know what an insurrection and coup is. By the way, by their definitions, not by any standard dictionary definitions, right, Maria?
It's almost laughable, except for the harm
right.
that it's causing our children.
Right.
And I, like many parents, was on the front lines of seeing this with the schools shut down and my daughter home and isolated. And, you know, she's a middle schooler when that happened. I feel, what about those young kids that were all masked up? I mean, I can't even imagine the younger kids. And now to come back and have to deal with gender identity indoctrination, figuring out the right pronouns, and have parents who object to it being called domestic terrorists. And the legislature, and this is why I'm talking to the people right now who are listening, it is so important. Now is your time. You've been sitting on the sidelines. You've been taking it from the government and what they've been doing. And now you have your opportunity for your voice to be heard at the ballot box. And let me tell you what some of the things the legislature has done this year to help with the parental rights issues.
Please.
Obviously,
yeah.
the masks and the vaccine mandate and putting an end to that. Senator Bartow had the educational transparency bill that she passed. And, you know, let me ask you this. Well, she tried to pass, and Senator Marsh voted against it, who is the Democratic opponent to her. Now, who's teacher of the year.
Right.
Now, why would a teacher not want curriculum transparency?
Well, my sense of why a teacher wouldn't want or why anyone wouldn't want it is for the same reason that we are reading about schools that are concealing from parents what they are trying to do to the children in gender conversion. Joe Biden tipped his hat to this 2 months ago, speaking to a group of teachers in the White House, when he said, when the kids are in your classrooms, they're your children. Of course, the former head of the DNC and former governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, said the same thing in his race, right? They aren't your parents' children. They're the teachers' children, right? It's a parents' patrie view of education. The state is in charge.
Right. So
that's my is Senator that the right answer? I don't know. That's my answer.
That's their answer. Senator Marsh, who touts herself as the teacher of the year, who's running against Senator Bartow in the general, she voted against curriculum transparency. She voted against every parental empowerment bill that was out there. And perhaps most telling, she opposed limiting sexual education to the fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you oppose limiting sexual education to fifth graders and up? Why do we need to teach our kindergartners about sex ed? I'd like to ask Christine Marsh that question, and I'd like to ask her running mate, Laura Tarrick, who also, she's running for House against whoever the nominee is for the Republicans, who also builds herself as a teacher when in truth she is an operative for the National Organization for Women.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know where they stand on that. She's a legislative liaison for the Arizona State National Organization for Women. And they are in the thick of the transgender war that we're trying to stop, for example, transgender athletes from competing high school girls. Or got that bill passed. Where do you think Senator Marsh stood on that issue? Of course, a no. Along probably with her running mate, Laura Tarrick. So that's what's at stake in this election, and that's why it's important to elect fighters on the Republican side who can expose them for what they're doing to our children.
Maria Sims is our guest. If I can keep you, Maria, you put your finger on something that's confounding to a lot of people, especially men, in invoking the National Organization for Women. You probably saw that exchange with Josh Hawley and the professor from Berkeley Law School that took place earlier today on whether people other than women can give birth. And I'm just wondering, maybe we could come back and you could talk about what it means to the women's movement, what it means to the rest of society when we erase from womanhood the notion that they are the only people that can give birth and what it is we're teaching our children about being a woman. Can we talk about that when we come back a little bit?
As a woman and a birthing parent, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. You are the expert. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show, portions of which are brought to you by the good people at Balance of Nature, balanceofnature.com. Pure, potent plant power. You take it once a day and you get a blend of 16 whole fruits and 15 whole vegetables that boosts your health, your immunity, your energy. I take it every single day. Wouldn't want to go a day without it. You can access it and get it too at balanceofnature.com, making sure to use discount code Balance. Maria Sims is our guest. She's running for Arizona State Legislature, the House of Representatives here in Arizona. SimsForAZ.com is her website, S-Y-M-S. That's how she spells her last name. Maria, you're familiar, obviously, with the book by C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. There's an interesting line in there where old Screwtape tells his nephew, Wormwood, that our task is to fuddle them, F-U-D-D-L-E. I love that word. Our task is to fuddle them. People know befuddle, but fuddle's a perfectly great word. It means to confuse. And, man, I'm telling you, we are confusing our society as much as we are our children. You had mentioned the National Organization for Women. There was a debate today in the Senate. Actually, it was a hearing that turned into a debate. You mentioned the National Organization for Women, but the debate was about whether it was just women who could give birth and only women who would be seeking abortions. This is the kind of stuff it sounds like Christine Marsh wants to teach to, you know, kindergartners, first graders, and second graders. I'm telling you, it's confusing out there, Maria. For those of us that still hew to common sense, seems like it's fading from the mainstream. It starts with our schools, but it certainly has moved upwards. Talk to us about this a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure. And it obviously is echoes of Supreme Court Justice Jackson's
yep.
confirmation hearings
yep.
when she couldn't, she wouldn't say what a woman is.
Right.
And that's a sad day for feminists everywhere.
I would think.
That they can't say what a woman is.
Yeah, what's the point of a National Organization for Women anymore, I suppose,
maybe
right?
They need to change their name,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
But let's look at how this is hurting our children.
Please.
And I talked a little bit earlier about how we should be teaching our children with love and caring and sensitivity to their emotional well-being. And I also talked about how this is part of the social indoctrination. Gallup did a poll. American self-identification as LGBT and by generation. And it shows that the millennials identify 10.5%. Generation Z identifies by 20.8%.
Mm.
So if there's any doubt that this fuddle, as you put it, is confusing our children into this very amorphous world of gender identity that the left is pushing. It's right there in the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we all know, anyone who's a parent, you're a parent, I'm a parent, we know that children at a very young age, that's why they want to push sex education and gender identity down to preschool and kindergarten. Because those kids, they're a blank slate, they're very innocent, and they're very accepting and respectful of authority. And they see their teachers as authority figures, and they're going to listen to them. And that's where they can get them. It's sort of like, do you remember the tobacco industry when they were exposed for using Joe Camel to indoctrinate the children into smoking, that it was a good thing with a cartoon character, and they were slapped with the fines and the court's consent decree, and they have to pay all this money and stop using that image because it was shown they were trying to hook you at a very young age. Well, the National Education Association, National Organization for Women, all these organizations, all these leftist progressive organizations, they know that's when the kids are most vulnerable and that's where they can indoctrinate them. And so that's the reason someone like Christine Marsh votes no on limiting sex education, gender identity teaching to fifth grade under fifth grade and up, and that's why she votes no on curriculum transparency. So it's really quite obvious if the voters take a moment to really research the records of these people and what they're trying to impose on our children.
Maria, I only have about 15 more seconds with you. 20 more seconds. Final pitch to the audience on behalf of your candidacy.
if you care about the future of Arizona like I do, vote for the LD4 Strong team. You can find out more about us at LD4Strong.com. It links to Senator Bartow, Vera Gibran, and Maria Sims' webpages. My website is Sims, S-Y-M-S, 4, F-O-R-A-Z.com. I'd love to hear from you. We're still getting people signed up for volunteers. You can donate there. You can also ask for yard signs, and we're out in force. And we are with you. We will give you a voice in the legislature in the course of the future of our children, our next generation, and the future of Arizona. And we're happy to do it. We're ready to work for you. Thank you.
Maria Sims, thank you, and Godspeed and God bless. I'm Seth Liebson. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show, portions of which are brought to you by YRefi. If you are looking for a unique investment opportunity, check out my friends at YRefi. They are offering a fixed no-load interest rate up to 10.25% return for investors, all on a collateralized, secure portfolio. Investors do well by doing good. They're helping people dig out of debt by paying down their debts. YRefi is a due diligence-approved firm run by really great people, as I say, and they are locally based. You can go visit with them. They won't give you a sales pitch. They'll just tell you about what it is that they do and let it speak for itself. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's the word invest, the letter Y, R-E-F-Y.com. Let's go to Bob in Mesa. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Seth. How are you doing today?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Good. Long-time listener, second-time caller.
Oh, thanks.
I'm sure there's all sorts of degrees of this, and you discussed as far as the topic of America First Republicans.
Oh, yes. We had a call, what it means to be an American First. I may not have answered it well, but anyway, it's a big one. What does it mean to be an American First Republican?
I'm sure there's all sorts of shades of it. Obviously, the easiest one is anybody Donald Trump says is America First. Okay, that doesn't mean they're conservative. He just thought you were when he talk to you.
Part of the definition is, you're saying, part of the definition is if Donald, he has revived the phrasing. So he, in the course of talking about candidacies, campaigns, even in his inaugural address, he has used that phrase. So he's put a new branding on it, is your point. That's fine.
Right. I just want to say that pretty lightly. Then everybody else is going to have their own version of it.
Right. And no, I think I took your meaning of that lightly. Yeah, it's a light point. Yeah, I agree.
One pretty good version, I think, is the Freedom Caucus.
Yep.
Now, they, as I understand it, during Obama, when they started to worry about the borders and the Constitution and taxes.
Yeah, okay. The economy kind of came around to the same around the same time. Memory serves around the Tea Party movement, didn't it? A little bit?
Yeah, that seems to be right.
Yep.
Now, again, everybody's going to have a different variation.
Yep.
Now, I didn't even know that Representative Schweikert is a freedom part of Freedom Caucus.
Yeah, part of the founding of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. I think that would catch some people off guard unless they were looking at a list, because he's not as wild-eyed and, doesn't get as much attention as, the representative that begins with a
like Andy Biggs or someone like that?
Andy Biggs.
Yeah,
But lastly, a comment from that, how I like to qualify it, it gives you a shade. It doesn't really tell you America First, but it helps you distinguish a little bit. One of the national hosts on another station says, well, you have to remember that in Congress and the Senate, a lot of Republicans are really Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And no Democrats, none, are really Republicans.
You know, that's such an interesting point. Once upon a time, there were conservative Democrats here and there. The last one of any record, and it just shows you the Democratic Party, Bob, the last one of any record was Joe Lieberman. And it was a weird thing to say because his voting record was really liberal. But he sounded a little bit conservative, and he was very strong on pro-defense, and he had elements of common sense. But it was interesting when he came out in support of the Iraq War, the second Iraq War. The Democratic Party funded a candidate against him.
Correct.
And what's interesting is that he had to run as an independent. The Democratic Party threw him out.
Correct.
You're right. They just don't exist anymore. They've chased any open thinking in the Democratic Party out of that party. It's a closed party.
Real quickly.
Sure.
Well, in the old days, you know, Lieberman is like was the last dinosaur of a conservative Democrat.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah.
You know, people used to talk about Scoop Jackson. You know.
Yes, that stretches too many memories, but yes, he was like Scoop Jackson. No, but he really was kind of a hawk, but, you know, as liberal on social policy as, what do you want, John Kerry or Al Gore, right? That's what it came down to.
Right, and Manchin has some leanings towards Republican common sense, obviously. He's on the conservative side. I think Sinema is more of a practical person.
A little more pragmatic, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that she has conservative sensibilities. She seems to have some institutional sensibilities, if that makes sense.
Well, a constitutional, or she realizes that her party, as liberal as she might be, her party is so far left.
Yeah, when you're chasing when you're chasing one of your own into a bathroom, right, and screaming at him, you're gonna look at your party a little differently after that, especially when the president of the United States, who's a member of that party, says that's fine and dandy, which he did.
So true.
Yeah.
So true. Anyway,
yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
No, Bob, thank you. It's a big piece of I guess the analogy works pretty well. It's a big piece of an elephant that people have different hands on different parts of, and to the degree we can help define it, that'd be great. Hello, Rob.
Well, hi, Seth. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Oh, good. I was just listening to the previous callers, and I thought about something I read earlier today about the difference between patriotism and nationalism.
Okay.
And we seem to have, you know, on our end, more patriotism, but I think the nationalism side maybe kind of an either misunderstood or misdirected definition that harkens back to certain countries that, oh, let's say Germany in the 30s, for instance.
Yeah.
But that's not why I called. I want to bring up the fact that a few weeks ago, Mrs. Rob and I actually got COVID.
Oh, okay. Are you guys all right?
Yeah, we're fine. We never took any shots. It was our first and only.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, yeah. The first and only COVID, and this was, what, a year and a half after the whole basketball?
Yeah. A lot of people got their first and only about a year and a half after. Yeah, a lot of people did.
Yeah.
From everyone I know who told me, contradicts the article I read in the paper, which says the first is usually the worst. It's just not true. Yeah.
No, it's true. And again, I you know, we were doing the zincs and the D3s and the multivitamins, and, you know, we don't know how we got it. We got together with some friends, and turns out one of them may have had it, but
That's how you get it. that's right. Pretty much it.
Yeah.
Okay. Rob, am I hitting the break bill? I gotta take a quick break, Rob, but I think you wanted to make a point about the Democratic Party. You want to hold real quick and do that on the other side?
Yeah.
All right. I'm Seth Liebson. We'll be right back. I'm also happy to plumb that topic with y'all anytime you want, nationalism and patriotism. People hear the word nationalism, and they think Germany. I don't know why. I really don't know why. Why don't they hear nationalism and hear the Gettysburg Address? I don't know that. Maybe because we don't teach American history anymore. I'm Seth. We'll be right back. Every day, more harmful decisions by the current administration hurt the economy, robbing your savings and investment, making your money worth less. And now there's a very real possibility of a full-blown recession. You can't afford to lose even more. The good news is, when investments fall, gold traditionally holds its value, which is why I recommend Midas Gold Group to talk about safeguarding your wealth with physical gold. I own precious metals from Midas Gold Group, and you can too. I should say the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group. Check them out at MidasGoldGroup.com or give them a call at 480-360-3000, 480-360-3000.
3000. It's the only company Seb Gorka, I, and thousands of you already know. Rob, thanks for your patience, sir. Go right ahead.
Oh, I'm a patient guy. I think in the sense of patriotism, in the simplest sense, you love your country, period. And that's it. In the nationalism sense, you not only love your country, but you want to spread whatever it is about your country that you love to other countries. And maybe that's where that tie to Germany, you know, in, at least in my mind, comes from.
I wonder about that, because you think about the person who most brought that phrase back to our current parlance. It would be Donald Trump, who really made a very strong point of saying that, you know, we have been too aggressive in exporting democracy abroad, or in attempting to. Right. It's an odd thing.
Well,
the other thing about Germany that's odd is people think about the Nazi Party and they focus on the phrase national in that party. They don't focus on the phrase socialist so much. Isn't it interesting?
Well, no, but I think there's maybe some equal balance between the two words. The only other thing, and I know you're short on time because it's almost news time, you know, we've talked in the past a lot about, and yesterday we were talking about, you know, the Democratic presidential candidates. Normally, it had been discussed that, you know, governors would be the most experienced kinds of people to run for president, because they've got all that executive and management experience.
Yep.
Of course, you know, we have Ron DeSantis, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other side, other than, you know, Gavin Newsom.
That's it.
And I don't know if you're really crazy, Pritzker in Illinois.
You have to be crazy, and I think Whitmer was probably thinking about it at one point. But you think about the Democrats, the last two people they put in the White House were senators, right?
Well, yeah, but they didn't have the governing experience.
No, and it shows, and it shows. Also, these small states. Think about Joe Biden. Until he was vice president and president, how many people did he represent in Delaware? What was the most amount of votes he ever got? A substantially small, less votes than Nancy Pelosi got in running for House in San Francisco. It's amazing you can get so few votes and be such a powerful figure. You think about that. Nancy Pelosi's never had 200,000 votes, and yet she might be the most powerful person in the world. Just kind of interesting, isn't it, Rob? Okay, we'll be right back. Hugh Hallman on deck.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.